that phrase in the chant just now, those who don't discern suffering. It sounds strange. You think that everybody discerns suffering. Babies know suffering. They know enough to cry. Even common animals know when they're in pain. But that's not what the Buddha means. They're the kinds of suffering we all know about. And he lists them when he talks about the noble truth of suffering, aging, illness, death. He adds birth, which may be a surprise to some, but of course people who've been through childbirth know that there's a lot of pain. There's being separated from what you love, having to live with what you don't love, not getting what you want. All these are things we know. But then the Buddha says something that's unexpected. He says, when you boil it all down, it's the five clinging aggregates. That, he says, to see that is to discern suffering. We also need to see suffering's cause, which he says is the craving that leads to becoming. How are we going to see these things? This is what we're doing as we meditate. On the one hand, getting the mind to see what these aggregates are and how we cling to them. And then secondly, to see when there's a state of becoming, what kind of desire leads there? Because the aggregates, you've got what? You've got the form of the body. Okay, we're going to focus on that as we breathe. Breathe in, breathe out, focus on the breath. And this feeling, there's a feeling of different feelings of pain there may be in the body, but we're trying to develop a feeling of pleasure. Perception. These are the labels we apply to things, the images we hold in mind, are the ways we communicate from one part of the mind to another with images and words. And so we have perceptions about the breath. Where is the breath flowing? When the breath comes in, where does it come in? How do you know a sensation of breath? And this fabrication, the intention to do this. And then that conversation we have that the Buddha calls directed thought and evaluation. We're thinking about the breath, and then we're thinking about whether the breath is good enough or not to settle down with, and if it's not, what are you going to do to change it, and how are you going to change it? You can change the breath in ways that are put a lot of squeeze on it, but that makes it uncomfortable. You have to learn just the right touch. All of this is part of that conversation. And then the conversation about how you take that sense of well-being that comes with the breath and then let it spread around. And finally, there's consciousness, which is the awareness of all these things. So these things are right there in the concentration. And the question is, how are we going to get the mind into concentration without clinging? And the answer is, you're not. You're going to need to cling. But we're going to cling for the purpose of understanding. It's the same with desire, same with craving. You need to employ these things in order to get the mind into concentration. And as you employ them, then you get to know them well. I've known people who say, well, if you try to get the mind into concentration or you want to get the mind into concentration, then it's desire and clinging and craving, and there's going to be a sense of self. And we all know what the Buddha says, that there shouldn't be a sense of self. And that's short-circuiting the path right there. The Buddha's path is strategic. We're using things that eventually we're going to be letting go of. And we're going to be able to let go of them because we use them. In other words, we learn about them as we use them. That issue with the craving that leads to becoming. On the one hand, you've got the craving to get the mind into concentration. On the other hand, there will be other cravings that go someplace else. As the mind loses interest in the concentration, loses interest in the breath, it'll go someplace either to another thought world or into a world of drowsiness. A drowsy state, that too is a state of becoming. It's based on the desire to have some rest. All too often we come to the meditation feeling really tired. And all we can think of is how much we'd like to get the mind just to be quiet for a while and not have to think about anything and not have to do any work. And sort of as soon as there's a sense of ease and well-being, we go for it. We get drowsy, or we go into delusion concentration. So there's the desire there, the desire not to have to deal with anything. That too leads to a state of becoming. Then, of course, there are the more obvious states of becoming where you think of someplace else and your mind goes there. That's becoming and birth on the subtle level. Here again, the question is, why would you want to go there? And part of it is just getting bored with the breath. You want some more entertainment. But there may be other desires as well. And you're going to learn about them as you keep bringing the mind back to the breath. Otherwise, we go from one thought world to another one, like a hobo hopping trains. And you end up who knows where. And if you're asked to trace how you got there, often it's a real feat of memory. Things just seem to modulate, like they do in music, from one key to another key, and then you get further and further away from the tonic. And if you don't have a clear desire to be with the breath, you're just going to wander off in these becomings. So you're learning about desire very clearly, and the desire is what causes you to learn in general. And John Lee makes this point. It's because of our desire that we practice. It's because of our desire that we try to get the mind to settle down. It's because of our desire we try to understand things. You look at how the Buddha taught. He didn't set out a view of the world right away. He set out a task. He said, here's a problem, and here's how to approach the problem. And then you learn about the mind as you try to solve the problem. So on the one hand, it is good to know about things like dependent core arising and the Buddha's analysis of the different stages through which the mind goes as it creates suffering. But you're really going to get to know those stages as you decide that you want to put an end to suffering. So it's not just an academic subject, something you know the theory about, the Buddhist theory about the mind, the Buddhist theory about whatever. He has this analysis because he wanted to put an end to suffering. This is what he learned about the mind in the course of that. And so when he started to teach, he would start by saying, well, here's the problem, which is suffering, and here's the solution. These are the steps, the things you do, the things you've got to do, the duties with regard to the different noble truths. And then as you've pursued that desire, you begin to see, oh, this is how the mind does this, this is how the mind does that. So you want to make sure that your desire to get the mind to settle down is strong. Not so strong that you're thinking about nothing but how much you want it to settle down. You want it to be strong enough to motivate you to do the things that need to be done. And as you tackle these problems that the Buddha poses, where do you see clinging? Where do you see craving? What kinds of clinging and craving will be your friends for the time being, and which kinds of clinging and craving do you have to let go of as soon as possible? These are questions you'll be able to answer because you want to. Otherwise, whatever comes up just comes up, and we accept it as it is. And it doesn't go anywhere. Or it may go someplace, but it may not necessarily be the place we want to go. But when you decide that you really do want to get the mind to settle down, you really do want it to be clear and alert, that's when you have the opportunity to learn about the mind. I've mentioned that story that a John Child likes to tell about how you've gone to a market to buy a banana and come back. Someone asks you, what are you going to do with the banana? Why are you carrying the banana? You say, because I'm going to eat it. Then they ask you, well, why are you carrying the peel? You're going to eat that too? And then a John Child poses the question, how are you going to answer them? And before he gives you the answer, he gives you the how. In other words, it's through desire. You have to want to come up with a good answer. That's the only way it'll come. So in the same way, it's okay to want to do the concentration. It's okay to want to understand the mind. And it's just starting with the wanting that you're going to learn things. This is why John Lee, when he talks about the different mental qualities that go into the practice of mindfulness, ardency, alertness, and mindfulness, assigns discernment to the ardency. And if you read the commentaries, they'll assign it to what they call clear comprehension, which is their analysis of alertness. But ardency, the desire to do this well, that's where the discernment really comes from. So as you're trying to figure out, as the mind wanders off, why is it wandering off? That's when you learn. When the mind is getting sleepy and drowsy, why is it going for the sleepiness and drowsiness? What's the desire there? Because there are ways of dealing with sleepiness and drowsiness. You give the mind work to do. But sometimes part of the mind says, hey, look, I really want to rest. So you give it some time to rest. But then at the same time you say, okay, you've got to get to work. You've got to learn how to stir up your energy, stir up the desires. In the Buddhist terms, it's called generating desire. So you want to get past that. And as you deal with desire in this way, you're going to learn a lot about the mind. As you try to solve the problem of suffering, you're going to learn a lot about the mind. That's going to be unexpected. The important thing is that you adopt the Buddhist strategy. Because as he said, the desires or the craving that lead to suffering include not only craving for becoming, but also craving for non-becoming. In other words, you've got a state of becoming and you don't like it. You want to destroy it. That, too, can lead to suffering. It's not like there's no way out of this. But the Buddha says there is a strategic way that employs craving and employs clinging and employs desire. You get the mind into a state of concentration, which is a state of becoming. And they use that as a basis for understanding other states of becoming, other cravings, other desires. And that's how the problem gets solved on one level. And then you can turn that same analysis on the concentration itself. But don't do that until you've taken care of a lot of other distractions. This is one of the reasons why the Forest of Johns, when they would teach meditation, wouldn't lay out the map right from the very beginning. They'd say, do this, and then when you've done that, come back and we'll talk about the next step. So even though we may have read about the different states of jhana and the stages of insight. You put that aside for the time being and tackle the problem that's right here. How do you get the mind to settle down? How do you get it past its distractions? How do you get past drowsiness? Take an interest in these problems, and they'll give you the sensitivity and the understanding of the mind that you're going to need to tackle bigger problems. So focus your desires right here to get the mind to settle down. And it will open up a lot of things in the mind that you wouldn't have expected.